This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I do appreciate Kevin Keats, head basketball coach of the men there at NC State, who joined us in hour number one. In West Durham, we switch our attention to South Bend, Indiana now.
Are you sure it's going to be in South Bend, Indiana, or is it another port of call? Where are you, Mike Bray?
This is not a neutral site. This is a home game in South Bend, a beautiful day in South Bend here. So I am back home and just grinding day to day like you guys. How you doing?
We're okay. We're doing the exact same thing. Even I will tell you, I had the scruff going like you've got right now, and I tried shaving this morning and about decapitated myself. So I'm playing somewhat hurt, Coach, with the Band-Aid on the side of the face. But nevertheless, how crazy are these times? I mean, you know, the season ends abruptly in Greensboro, and, man, the pandemic's one thing. We've got the racial and social unrest going on in the country. Everybody's trying to figure out how in the world we're going to kind of get this thing jump-started again in terms of a football season and the trickle-down. I mean, I can't ever remember a year quite like 2020.
I told somebody on my staff yesterday, I wake up every morning and I feel like I'm down 20 at halftime. You know, I'm like, come on, man, it's halftime and I'm down 20. I don't have any fake speeches anymore to get them all pumped up again. I'm running out of stuff. But, we're all knocked back on our heels. There's no question about it. And, you know, you're trying to keep your team pumped up by way of Zoom calls and give them something to look forward to and tell them we're going to play a regular college basketball season. Yet we all know that's still kind of an unknown. I've tried to take the philosophy of not bringing my guys back till August 1st. We moved our semester up to August 10th. My feeling was to let this football thing get going. And we are all praying and crossing our fingers that this football thing can go, because that'll be the barometer for all of us, as we know, in the winter and moving forward. And so, we're going to bring them back August 1st. We're going to start school August 10th. Hopefully we could get into some kind of routine. My feeling was there's so many protocols and lockdown, you know, criteria here on our campus with our football guys. Our guys at home are in a better routine right now. They're able to get better access to the gym and strength training, and they're in there. And the one thing about basketball, as you guys know better than anybody, we're kind of nimble. You know, after four practices, our guys say, we don't want to practice anymore. When do we play North Carolina? Which is cool, which may help us. It may help us when we get to November that we are a little more nimble. We'll go shirts and skins if we have to, if the uniforms don't come in. We'll do whatever we have to do.
All right, but I want to jump to the business of basketball, because you've already said we're going to have to be flexible and nimble to whatever they deal with us. Your campus, your athletic director, and your football coach, who I know you've got great relationships with, they're in the conglomerate now of people that are at the forefront of this. So what has Jack Swarbrick told you? What has your conversation with Brian Kelly been like as it relates to, and you're right, everybody's hoping that, and Kevin Keats just said this, he hopes the NBA and the NFL go off without a hitch, because that's good for college athletics. I mean, what have your conversations been like, though, Mike, with Swarbrick and with Coach Kelly?
Well, our football guys, I think, all got tested on Friday. They're all back now. And so I'm very curious to see the results of those tests here early this week and how we move forward. You know, Jack Swarbrick and I were talking about 3 weeks ago. Football not only is the test case for the rest of the sports, basketball, winter sports, fall sports, football is the test case if we're going to start semesters on time with our regular students. If this can't be managed here on our campus the right way, there's no way 7,000 students are showing up August 10th to start school. You know, so, you know, never has there been more riding on our football program. And everyone's cheering for them, and they've fought all this through on all our campuses. with medical help and protocols and cleansing and everything. But, you know, the football routine, you know, has to go, which is my attitude was, I'm keeping my basketball guys out of here. Let's just let the football thing go in a quiet, closed atmosphere, and hopefully we can get movement a little bit. Again, August 10th for our guys can't come quick enough, you know, just to get back in the routine. I do feel for our kids. We have some kids. Our kids are really scarred and knocked back. If we could get to some routine with our guys in August, it just would be so helpful mentally, because I really think everyone's kind of knocked back on their heels, you know, us included.
Mike, we were just talking about this last hour that, you know, it's June 22nd, and from a football perspective, you start talking about Labor Day weekend. That's still 2.5 months away from kick. And if you kind of work backwards of where we were the first week in April versus where we are now, again, who knows what kind of medical advancements are made? Who knows if there's a second wave? Nobody has any of these answers. However, I will tell you that while we've got over 2 million COVID-19 tests in terms of being positive in this country, if you are tested and you're positive and you're a young person, you know, from a student athlete standpoint, especially football, since everybody with the voluntary workouts, you're probably in a perfect place to be if you are tested positive, that you've got the medical wherewithal in terms of people that know what's going on, quarantine, nutritionists, everything else. So, again, it's impossible to crystal ball what basketball could look like. We can't even tell you whether or not fans will be in the stands or what's going to happen on this front. But you do have to be smart. And this is where all of us as fans, broadcasters, coaches, players, whatever, hey, when people tell you, wear a mask, you know, make sure your hands are nice and clean, do everything you possibly can, all that can do is help. Whether you think, man, I hate the mask, whatever. I'm just telling you, if you want football back, you want basketball back, you want life to be as normal as it can be back, you got to do the things it takes to say, listen, what can we do to help start the process? And that, to me, is part of the deal.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think we've all been trained with our habits, and we've all been coachable for the most part. I know, you know, my guys have, my staff has. We actually meet for lunch every Wednesday, and we just crave that time together for 2 hours, because we just, you know, we did it 2 weeks ago. It was the first time I saw my staff face to face since March. Wow. You know, and you know, we just crave interaction. I mean, we were there for 3 hours, and there was distancing in the restaurant, et cetera, but it was, and it's almost, it's really therapy for all of us just to kind of have some time to interact. But you're right. I mean, I think all the ACC schools and all the colleges, there are unbelievable medical protocols and supervision on this football comeback. And so I'm really hopeful and I'm really optimistic that we can start to move this thing. And, you know, Labor Day's still got time, and certainly, you know, November 1st, when we start kicking off some exhibitions, we also have time there. You know, it was interesting. We scheduled the game with Kentucky about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, and of course, I was talking with Dane Goodwin the other day. He said, you know, Coach, that's a great game. He said, but probably won't be 20,000 people there, right? I said, yeah, I don't know if there's going to be 20,000 people there on December 12th. I hope there is, but I don't know. You know, so for our players, just trying to get back to some kind of normalcy and some hope, you're trying to really give them that. And I'm hoping in August we actually can work with them a little and practice a little bit and get into some kind of routine. So, you know, that's kind of our plan now. But it's a living day to day, man. It's an interesting grind. There's no question about it.
Hey, by the way, you not only announced the Kentucky game, you also announced last week you're going to play Howard on MLK Day in D.C. I know that's where you're from. You're from the DMV, as they call it. I mean, that's got to be special to you. It comes at a great time, obviously, when there's a – and we just had Kevin Keats on talking about the ACC potentially trying to play HBCUs on MLK Day or around that time if possible. How fast did that come together? I mean, that's a wonderful stroke by you guys, and certainly a great experience for not only college basketball fans, but for both schools, I would think, as well.
No question. I think it's going to be an amazing educational experience for my guys. we had a previous contract, you know, when Kenny Blakeney, who I recruited to Duke, and he was my assistant at Delaware. Yeah. He's a DeMatha guy. He's like a son to me. When he got the job, I thought I could help him out by doing a home and home at Howard. And they were going to come to us December 27th, and we were going to return it the following year. And Kenny's been throwing out MLK Day all the time. And my initial reaction was, you know, I don't know if I want to play a non-league game during a grueling ACC 20-game schedule, especially after January 1. I said, Kenny, I'm just not sure we can do that, but we're going to come to Howard. And as I watched what went on in the country the last 3 weeks, especially it was a weekend, I called him. I said, Kenny, we need to come to you this year. And I don't know what we can do around this game. In the meantime, the nonprofit organization, When We All Vote, that is a Michelle Obama initiative we aligned with. A Howard graduate actually manages this. And our players and the Howard players leading up to November 3rd are going to be on social media and then hopefully live here in our studios when they get back, talking about young people getting on the train, registering to vote, and voting. You know, that's our first step in making a difference. So I think it's going to be a really powerful one. I had a flashback about 10 years ago when we played at Georgetown in the Big East. I took my guys to Walter Reed to visit the injured soldiers. Every parent of my player, I got an email from, Coach, that was my son's most powerful experience at Notre Dame. They didn't talk about a game. They didn't talk about anything. And I have a feeling, you know, I'll get the same emails. And so, again, I'm excited to go back. You know what's crazy? I just thought the other day. So that game is MLK Day, Monday the 18th. The inauguration is the 20th. If Washington, D.C. is going to be buzzing a little bit, and hopefully we can get some people in the stands, but I think an educational opportunity. I did throw it out to the rest of the league. I'm not sure where that stands, you know, but in the midst of what we have going on, I thought it could be a really powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. By the way, before we let you go, now we always like to find out what coaches have been working on during the pandemic, and For a brief moment, I thought somebody had hacked into your Twitter account because your stunt double was spectacular jumping rope. And for folks that don't follow you, look at this dude. He looks just like you.
Look at this.
What is this?
Look at that.
My younger brother. Well, you know, I paid for that the next day. I was a little sore in those calves, but I did say – I did say back in April, I said, look, we have no excuse not to get in great shape and have a workout routine. And I'll say this, I have been in a good workout routine and I've been eating better because I'm not on the road and I'm not traveling. And so there it is, you know, my Pilates, my swimming, my eating better, a little bit of jumping rope. You know, there's no excuses not to be in good shape during all this, lockdown time.
Some light feet right there, Coach.
All right, so, yeah, very, very soft feet. All right, so tell us your best round so far, and don't lie.
Best round? Well, you know, I'm not the golfer you are. I mean, what I've done, I've gotten back into it a little bit with the free time, and I've gone to the driving range, and I'm still on the range hitting a little bit. The clubs were put away, and I was off the golf, you know, addiction or whatever we want to call it for the last 6 or 7 years. But I feel it coming back a little bit. I feel it coming back, and I'm out there hitting a little bit. And maybe I'll try a round here this week.
I got a secret scouting report that you were back hitting balls. That's why I'm asking, because I got a little scouting report, a little intel on Bray.
That is accurate, and our women's assistant golf coach has been meeting me out there and coaching me up a little bit. I figured, let me see if I can get this stroke a little smoother. So now I'm not in your league. I'm not teeing it up with you, man. You'll take my lunch money and all that, and I'm not dealing with that. But you know, we are hitting it a little bit.
All right. Okay. Well, it's great to see you. Congratulations on the jump rope. That was Packer and I both agree that's about as much athleticism as we need to see out of you for a while.
Well, let me tell you now. Can I just say something real quick? For folks that say, oh, anybody can jump rope. If you haven't jumped rope in a while, you go grab those bad boy and see if you can go 30 seconds. You'll be surprised how that will burn you if you haven't done that in a while. I'm just telling you, I was impressed.
And that was great editing, that I was going 10-minute segments, and we had some great editing there. But you're right. I hadn't jumped rope since I was playing for Morgan Wooten. And I tried it. I was like, oh, my God, this is a challenge. So we did the best we could editing that thing. But you know, I watch you guys. You're part of my routine every morning, you know, so I'm watching you guys. Thanks for all you do. And stay safe and stay healthy. And remember, this hoops, we're nimble, baby. We're nimble. Just give us a ball and some speed socks. We'll be ready to go.
I love it. Stay safe, Coach.
Hey, take care, fellas.
Take care, Coach. Thanks as always.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Mikel Cunningham, quarterback of your Louisville Cardinals, are coming up here in about 7 or 8 minutes. And with that said, Wes, some breaking news from Louisville today.
Yeah, University of Louisville has just confirmed that Mark Packer's weekend has been ruined.
No, extended, oh, not oh, ruined, extended.
Just extended. Oh, okay. Yeah, because you and Elliot Avent, you guys had big plans. Apparently they're still intact. Louisville has confirmed that their opener against NC State will now be Wednesday night, September 2nd at Cardinals Stadium, as opposed to Thursday night, September 3rd. So Wednesday night, September 2nd for the Louisville-NC State opener. And that now is the first ball game on the ACC schedule, period. And part of the reason is because the Kentucky Derby is that Saturday, September the 5th, in Churchill Downs, obviously, in Louisville, Kentucky. So now they have... it had been previously speculated, Courier-Journal, Stadium, Brett McMurphy, a lot of other people, and this was... a couple weeks ago, now confirmed by the University of Louisville, NC State at Louisville opener moved from September 3rd to September 2nd. So we got that for you. And that is fresh off the press at shortly after 9 o'clock. So that's good for us. We beat the deadline and got it on the air this time, as they say.
Well, that means that Vince Tyree and Eric Wood and the coveted invite and Hancock.
Luke Hancock.
Louisville contingent need to understand we need to extend one more day for our festivities in Louisville to not only kick off the college football season, but also check out the Derby. So Thursday would have been perfect. Wednesday gives us more time to spend there in Louisville. That's all that means. All it means.
You've already got this planned, don't you?
Yeah. Elliot Avent and I, you saw how we connected when we did our primetime Packer and Durham special, and Elliot didn't even know the Kentucky Derby had been moved to September. And so he's already been working sideline passes and private planes and all kinds of, and listen, Elliot Avent, when he's got a plan, it's going to be executed to the fullest. So they want to move it up a day, so be it. That's what we'll do. September 2nd, Dave Dorn and the Wolfpack come rolling in there. Coach Satterfield have his guys ready. And as I mentioned, Kale Cunningham, the quarterback for the Cardinals, will join us coming up here in about 5 minutes.
Yep, we'll talk to him. Also, talk about an interesting scenario, quarterback play. Cunningham and Devin Leary, who is the projected starter for the Wolfpack. NC State trying to bounce back. We've already talked about last week how big a ball game it'll be, and it's a great way to start the ACC football season in the Atlantic Division. So the scheduling news of the day is the move from September 3rd to September 2nd. Pac, you mentioned this earlier when we were talking to Jimmy from South Carolina who called us. The news on college football and the voluntary workouts and the positive tests and all that reintroduction, if you will, has not gone according to plan. In fact, if you followed the news for about, 72 hours, you would think that the sky was falling literally around college football. There have been positive tests reported. Some of it has been confirmed, some of it hasn't, and that has to do with privacy laws and things of that nature. But nonetheless, it appears like Clemson, Kansas State, Texas, you mentioned LSU. We've got some scenarios playing out here where there are some positive tests coming back to the coronavirus, and I'm going to be surprised if they test and nobody has it, because I just think the percentages favor at least a positive test or two as we move through this. Fortunately, most of them that have been reported are asymptomatic and they've been able to move to that quarantining phase and so forth. Some is 10, some is 14 days before they're reintroduced into the general population again for workouts.
Wes, the schools are much like the states. Certain states are operating at a different level. I don't think you should be alarmed and go, oh, my goodness, Clemson's got 28 folks, LSU 30, Houston shut down, Kansas State shut down. Hey, it's June 22nd. And, again, the medical attention the student-athletes are receiving on campus is second to none. So it's just par for the course. And for folks that are outraged and people in the media, they're going, oh, that's it. Let's shut the season down. I mean, nonsense. Hey, you go get better. So, again, I'm not trying to downplay the importance. It's critical. I hope the numbers are zero across the board. But if you're thinking that way, I think you're naive. Like I mentioned, we've got in this country 2 million people have tested positive for COVID-19, and there are going to be more tests. So, you know, I suspect that some of the headlines moving forward for the next couple of weeks, my guess will be there will be other schools with double digits in terms of student-athletes who have tested positive for COVID-19. Well, guess what? They're going to get great medical attention. People between 18 and 22 years of age, from a statistical standpoint, are really in incredible shape in terms of being bounce back, recovery, and good to go. So, again, it's June 22nd. Yeah. No freak out. It's just the nature of the beast. But we hope everybody's as safe as they can possibly be moving forward.
Well, and here's a word of advice from Ryan Clark, who played 13 years in the NFL, who's got a son at Arizona State, who played at LSU. He's got a follow. He follows college football as well as the NFL for ESPN. Ryan tweeted something out the other day, and now you may see Packer and I are the old guys get off our lawn, but Ryan Clark says, college football players, stay inside, train, be with your team, that's it. Give up partying, hanging, shoot, anything fun and non-essential. You're about to fun yourself out of a season. You know what? That's not a bad piece of advice.
Well, you know, just be smart. I mean, you know, we were all 18, 19, 20 and stupid. I can certainly tell you that. I did things that I don't even want to discuss on the air or even in private when I was that age. But, you know, kids today, I think, are in a better spot than what we were. And, again, I think from a medical standpoint, everybody being on campus is probably the perfect place to be, whether your COVID-19 numbers are zero or 40 or whatever the number happens to be. So, again, and I'm not going to panic on June 22nd with some of this information. Ryan was smart with that quote. And, again, I think if you live by those words, you're probably going to be okay. But where we go, Wes, on September the 1st, I don't know where we're going to be. I do think we're going to have a season. But for the gloom and doom crowd, you know what? I don't need to hear about it on June 22nd. We got a long way to go to get before we even get to the end of August.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Many thanks to Kevin Keats and Mike Bray, who joined us earlier. Wes, you just pointed out we're breaking out of Louisville. They're moving the season up a single day. NC State will roll into town on Wednesday, September 2nd, and the guy that will be hopefully staying healthy in front and center, literally under center, is the quarterback for the Cardinals, Mikael Cunningham. Mikael, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, man. So, how many workouts we had in already? You had about three or four before we got to this interview?
No, I haven't got none in, but I'm going to get a couple in after this.
What's it been like to be on campus, Mikael? I mean, the return, a lot of people were watching. The University of Louisville was one of the first schools to kind of phase back in. So what was that experience like?
It was a good experience. I mean, seeing all the guys and seeing the training staff and the weight staff, some of those guys back, and it's just fun to have the guys back and being able to work out together.
Man, you look around with all those weapons, man, you got to be licking your chops. Man, this offense should be cruising in 2020. You're going to put up some crazy numbers.
Yes, sir. This is definitely the year. It's always good to go into a new offense on year two. And we just know where to go and what to do just a little bit more faster. And I can't wait.
What was it that, I mean, in reading some of the comments you had as the season went on last year, what was it about this philosophy where you were just a perfect fit? I mean, obviously with Javian and Tutu and Hassan and all these other guys, plus I know you had Big Makai up front. I mean, why did this offense just click so fast under Coach Satterfield and obviously Coach Ledford?
Because a lot of us, I feel like out of high school, ran the RPO offense, the run-pass option. We can be able to run a lot off of it and throw it. And this is the offense we thrive on running the ball. So when teams try to stuff us up for the run, that's when we take some of those shots deep with our weapons on the outside.
Mikhail, your passer rating last year in a clean pocket was higher than even this guy, Joe Burrow, and ended up winning the Heisman Trophy. I'm sure you've had a conversation or two with those boys up front that, hey, guys, you keep me clean, we're going to be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I talk to those guys almost all the time about keeping me clean and just trying to keep those guys off me. I mean, with Makai being out, well, not on the team this year, Adonis Boone got to step up, and he knows he got to play a big role, even though he played a lot of games last year. I was lying. I feel like it's going to be even tighter this year.
So, Mikhail, as you guys have come back to campus to get ready for 2020, the spring obviously was wiped out. I think you all may have had a couple of practices before everything got shut down. So what have you spent the first, you know, couple of weeks working on from a workout perspective when you do talk about football? I mean, I know it's been weights and conditioning, but what about just football in general? What are you guys focusing on?
Just back to the fundamentals and everybody getting back in shape, which everybody, honestly, the last 2 weeks, everybody came back in great shape. So we hit the ground running like we never left. But we do like kind of like PLPs when the coaches leave off the field, we get done working out, and we kind of let the players run it, and we just get the best out of it with the little time that we have, because you only can be at the stadium a certain amount of time. So we do the best we can, get some routes in, and just run over a couple plays, just things like that.
Mikhail, in your downtime, I'm just going to do a double combo here. This guy, Lamar Jackson, I'm sure you've heard of, the legacy that you've got now at quarterback with all the great quarterbacks that have played there. Lamar's now on the cover of Madden 21. So how's your game in Madden?
Now, you know what's so crazy? You can ask anybody of my teammates. I hardly ever played Madden. I'm more of a 2K type of guy. But since he's on the front and since the PS5 is coming out, I will be playing it a lot more this year.
So you got a stronger 2K game? I thought guys that were good in Madden were good in 2K.
You know, it's crazy. That's how it is. I'm more of a Madden type of guy. I try to give myself a little break from football sometimes. But now, since he's all over Madden 21, I will have that game.
By the way, do you have any conversations with Lamar? Because I know he's busy and the world's going 100 miles an hour, and so are you. But, I mean, you know, you guys, there's a standard of quarterback at Louisville right now.
Yeah, I mean, we talk every now and then. We all like in the – like older guys, we all in the little group chat. And we just been messing around over this downtime and just making each other laugh, just things like that.
Hey, Mikhail, we just got confirmation from Louisville before you joined us that you guys are going to play on Wednesday night, not Thursday night now, September 2nd against NC State because of the Derby that weekend. And that'll be a huge way to start college football. And I know there may be a couple of games the weekend prior to, but, boy, that Wednesday night stage, that's a huge opportunity for really the ACC, but especially a program that had so much momentum a year ago like you guys did.
And honestly, me and the guys, we really can't wait. Like, y'all, I don't think y'all understand how anxious and how ready we are, like, as a team, just to go show that we got so much more under our belt. And last year was only the beginning of the start for us, and we're not dwelling on that. And we're ready, September 2nd.
Mikhail, looking back, when Coach Satterfield showed up, what was your first impressions of him And when did you get a sense that, hey, you know what, this is a different football team with a different era with a new head football coach?
I can say, honestly, when those guys first got here, the first thing they did was took us bowling, just kind of to get to know those guys and fellowship a little bit. And I feel like that was a big first step, because you got to build a family when you come in. And the guys got to trust you, and we got to be able to look up to our coach as a role model, and he's a great fit for that. I mean, Coach Stats, real laid back, probably one of the best coaches I've ever been around. And he just knows what he's doing, and he's a very great game manager.
Hey, Mikhail, I've noticed a little bit here in the spring and in the off season that Satterfield, every once in a while, there's a picture of him that pops up on social media from his quarterback days at Appalachian. And some of the guys on the team give him a hard time, and then he'll fire back talking a little smack about the play he was running and what ended up happening. Are you guys bust him all the time about his quarterbacking days?
No, sometimes he'll walk through the QB room and he'll talk about it a little bit, how he used to run the zone read. And when he posted that tweet, I think it was like a couple months ago, 1 or 2 months ago, I had quoted it and I seen him. He had like a little cutback lane, could have cut back, across the field, probably could have scored. But why they teach us, quarterbacks don't run out of bounds. And he was fighting for extra about 5 or 6 yards. And I was like, all right, I'll give you a pass for that.
I want to go back to this bowling event, though. Who is the go-to bowler on this Louisville team? Who's the best bowler on the team?
Well, on the last team, I would say D.G. Robinson, probably the best roller, D-tackle.
Mm.
We haven't been bowling in a long time, but we got a lot of guys on our team that can do a lot outside the box, outside of football.
No.
Hold on, wait a minute. I am going to follow up on that. Like, for example, Mikhail, give me two or three guys on the team with some skills that folks would not know that they've got outside of football. Who would that be?
I would definitely say, I would definitely say Dez got some skills. What's got some skills? Because Dez is a gamer. I've never seen anybody like that.
Dez Fitzpatrick, right?
Yeah, he's a gamer. Who else can I say?
You better get this right, because they're going to be waiting on you after this interview if you don't give them some props.
Chandler Jones, he's a fisher. He's a cornerback. Him and AJ, they both fish. I'm trying to think of one more.
Wow.
Like something crazy. Oh, wait, Evan Conley, he plays the guitar. Evan, yeah, he plays the guitar.
All right.
Yeah, it's about 3-0.
Okay. By the way, as a communications major, what's been the most difficult course you've had at University of Louisville?
The most difficult course, I would definitely say it's one humanities class that I was in. And I was like, well, before these coaches got here, I was kind of like struggling with the class. I'm not feeling tight, but once they got here, they definitely put their foot down and made school definitely the number one priority. And ever since then, I've been passing classes with flying colors.
Good for you, man. Keep that good work in that classroom. That's important.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mikhail, the next time you talk to Lamar, back, tell him what class Lamar told you was the hardest class he ever had at Louisville.
Mikhail, this is no lie. We're doing ACC kick. All right, go ahead.
Spanish.
Got it. You're all over. And let me tell you, I asked Lamar that question when he was in school, and he said Spanish. He said, I just don't know. I don't get it. I can't figure it out. Da, da, da. And when he got up out of the interview, but let me tell you what's funny. When he got up from the interview, he said, ciao. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't go Italian on me. No wonder why Spanish is so hard. But he's some kind of player, man, and so are you. So keep up the great work.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Mikhail Cunningham, we look forward to seeing you. Opening night of ACC football, Wednesday night, September 2nd. Tell Coach Satterfield we said hello, and thanks for the time.
Yes, sir. I will do.
All right. Great to see Mikhail Cunningham joining Packer and Durham here on ACC Network. I got to be honest with you, Pack. I'm kind of gunned up. The ACC is going to take the Wednesday night stage on September 2nd. I think there's a lot of benefit to having that ball game that early in the season to make it the kickoff before the kickoff, if you will, of opening weekend.
Plus, from a Louisville perspective, it gives you one more day, not only for that game, but also to get ready for your next one, which is at Clemson. So, to me, that's a win-win. Plus, it gives us an extended period of time in Louisville to get ready for not only the game, but also the Derby that weekend. But I will tell you, Wes, two teams we talked about last week on the show that, to me, are very similar, and that is Louisville and North Carolina. Those are two teams coming off much better years than anybody anticipated outside of their locker room, who both have quarterbacks. They've got great skill people. They got a ton of people coming back on the offensive side. Expectations are high. Season tickets are going through the roof, and both of them are going to score a bunch of points. They will be fun teams to keep an eye on. And again, preseason expectations for both of them. A lot of folks have North Carolina top 20. Louisville certainly there on the fringe. The Chester and Fuller are doing great. And but with those two quarterbacks now, with Sam and Chapel Hill, McHale and Louisville, those are two teams to watch because they're going to score a bunch.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Quick Monday program. I mean, fast show. Kevin Keats, Mike Bray, Mikhale Cunningham. Appreciate all those gentlemen joining us. And it's going to be a busy week with guests. And again, I'm sure we'll get more information as the week goes on, Wes. From a COVID-19 testing standpoint, again, head on swivel and just everybody be safe out there.
By the way, tomorrow we'll celebrate the 48th anniversary of Title IX as part of an all-day programming marathon, not only on ACC Network, but special tomorrow night, Women in the ACC celebrating the 48th anniversary of Title IX, hosted by Kelsey Riggs at 7 o'clock. Pitt Athletics Director Heather Leich will join us tomorrow. Louisville women's basketball star Dana Evans and the Boston College women's field hockey coach and weight grad Kelly Doten will be along with Packer and Durham tomorrow starting at 8 o'clock Eastern here on ACC Network. Before we say goodbye, we showed you clips of this going to the break, and I've got to tell you, a lot of the quarantine confessionals, the game is starting to rise in terms of information and access. And, well, we had to go to the big man, Eric McClain, on deck today.
What's up, everybody? It's Eric McClain checking in with another Packer and Durham quarantine confessional. Come on inside. I want to talk to you and just show you a little bit of what we have been doing during this quarantine. And really, it's been a lot of fun just to do some home renovations, to build some fun stuff. You're going by my new desk right there. But really, one of the things I'm most excited about is we've been working on this laundry room. It's a lot of fun. Come check this out. So originally, we had a little bit of a nook right here, kind of a mudroom area. You can see it's all finished. We knocked this wall down, brought it out, and really just finished it up well with the trim. But this is where the project's still going on. If you come in here, you can see we've got our dust protector up. Just finished the drywall and some of the mud. Now we got to put on some more of the trim and finish it up and paint it up, and it'll be all done. We're super excited about this. And another thing that we've been doing during this quarantine, I know everybody can relate to this. Your yard looks better than ever before right now, so come check it out. We totally redid our yard. Very excited about it. Did a little turf, and it looks really great. We've got some Bermuda grass out there. Looks just like a golf course. I've got to get back to work, cut this thing, Pack and Durham. Love you guys. We'll see you later.
All right. First of all, that was outstanding. All right. That's number one. Outstanding. All right. And you're right, Wes. The confessionals have gotten better and better as the weeks have gone on. However, there is one thing that does bother me about McLean's bit there. You know, when a dude shows up in overalls, I want him dirty. Right. When a guy shows up in overalls that look like they were just pressed from the local cleaners, that would be a flag to me, even though I do know for a fact that Eric loves to be a handyman. So I'm not trying to discount anything that's been accomplished, but I want some dirt on my overalls for a dude showing up ready to work. Right. That's just me. That's just me.
Yeah. All right. I have two concerns. One, the overall look was strong, but the strap on the back was twisted around the wrong way. So it looked like, you know, he just slid them on, to be honest with you, to shoot the quarantine confessional. Not this side. It's when he turns around to walk back in, you'll notice that the right shoulder is all twisted around. So it looks like, well, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put the overalls on. See kind of on the back there? All right. Number two, Mac may need to start his own home improvement show because he and his dad taking down the wall and doing all that. Come on, man. I mean, that's Homer Formby, Bob Vila type stuff, isn't it?
Flip this house is what I'm talking about. Now, I have nothing but respect for handymen because I'm awful. I am the absolute worst in America when it comes to handymen. My wife, she will sit there with screwdrivers and hammers and projects, and she redid the Packer and Durham bathroom, which we'll eventually do a confessional with. She loves projects. I'm like, man, I can mow the yard, I can edge, and I can blow, and that is it. I mean, that is it. There's three things, and I'm done. So I respect Mac Lane and company with that flip the house move, but the no dirt on the overalls. Man, you got to get some dirt on that stuff, man.
But, well, all you need to know about my home improvement career is I was one time told to stain a deck, right? You know how you go and buy the stain and then you stain the deck? Well, I did such a good job of staining the deck that we then had to hire a company to come out and strip the deck only to restain the deck.
I tell you what I can do. I can write a check. Does that count? Because I can write a serious check. I got that going for me, which is nice, by the way. But that was good. Mac, getting the job done. The place looks great. Really does.
Hey, by the way, Eric and Khaki have done a wonderful job with their home and their backyard. They're in the Dilworth area, is that right? In that section of Charlotte, right? Over there?
I think they're in the Midwood Plaza area, which is a little different
Midwood
than
Plaza,
Dilworth.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Midwood.
But you know, he's right down the street. He's right down the street from Snooze and Midwood Barbecue. That's all you need to know.
Ooh. Snooze. Miss Snooze now.
Miss them all.
Gotta tell you. Missed the snooze breakfast. Ooh, wow. That place was good. That place is real good. Thanks to Mike Bray. Thanks to Kevin Keats. Thanks to Mikhail Cunningham. Good start to our week. Heather Light tomorrow, along with Dana Evans and also Kelly Doten from Boston College Women's Field Hockey. Looking forward to a Tuesday program, and we'll get to more of your phone calls as well tomorrow on the show, too. So good start to our week here, Pack. And thanks again to my kids for the 1980 ACC basketball tournament program as my Father's Day gift. We'll get to more of that this week, too.
I'm just glad I didn't bleed to death during the last 2 hours. And, you know, I was really worried I was going to have to tap into some of that Woodford Reserve just to survive this. But the Band-Aid by Mrs. P got me through it, wherever it is. Oh, there it is. And hopefully we'll be good to go for tomorrow. But a fun show. Again, great guests coming up this week. Should be terrific. And I hope everybody is safe out there because it's starting to feel like summertime.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.